What's good, everyone? My name is Jacob Moses, community builder at Strongtowns, and welcome to It's the Little Things, a Strongtowns podcast where in each episode, we focus on a different action that you, the concerned citizen, the elected official, the city planner, can take to make your town stronger. This episode's action, investing in the youth. What does investing in the youth mean to you? For some, it could mean giving kids the technology they need to succeed and advance their studies. For others, it can mean mentoring kids through the transformative years of primary school. No matter your definition, there's something we all have in common. We want to invest in the future leaders that will make our cities and towns stronger. In this episode, I chat with LaToya Wilson, Strongtowns member and founder of the Rebuild Talent Consultancy, a program that creates effective career development programs for inner city K through 16 students and consults on policy projects that focus on industry development, career development, and protection of small business. LaToya dives deep into her definition of investing in the youth, giving students in low-income communities the skills and confidence they need to make an impact in their own communities, plus shares tips on how you can invest in the youth of your community, including how to understand the learning landscape for youth in your community, how to create programs that are beneficial for students, and most important, how to make your investments last throughout a student's time in primary school and beyond. Enjoy. Hey there, LaToya. How are you today?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
Doing good. Doing good. How's life in Hamilton?
It is wonderful. It's been great for the past 3 years. Definitely enjoy the area.
Well, LaToya, it's so nice to be chatting with you again. I think the last time we spoke was maybe November. You just discovered Strongtowns, became a member shortly thereafter, and we were talking about the work that you're doing and how you're investing in the youth, not only as an adjunct professor, but also with this new venture that you're pursuing with the Rebuild Talent Consultancy, which we're going to be able to dig into this podcast. And I remember right away we were like, yo, like we gotta get this on It's the Little Things, talk about this great work that you're doing, because it's really making our town stronger, investing in the youth, and look forward to hearing your perspectives.
Thank you for having me. I definitely look forward to.
So LaToya, to get us started, I'd love just to start off by discussing your work at the Rebuild Talent Consultancy. Could you tell us a little bit more about this organization and what you noticed about the learning landscape for youth in low-income communities that motivated you to start it?
Actually, throughout the years, I've transitioned. I started out calling it Rebuild Workforce Project, where I was starting off working with older adults reentry. But throughout my years of working with young people, I realized, you know what? In order to make a difference, we also need to start with our youth. And that's where Rebuild Talent Consultancy come in. Pretty much the goal is to serve as a liaison between policy leaders and practitioners in terms of strengthening communication that will create results for the next generation, especially those who are negatively impacted by gentrification. Because, you know, throughout my years, not only I've been a practitioner, I used to work with elected officials, and I definitely see the need for strengthening that partnership. So things along the line of, you know, researching, advocating for policies that strengthen career readiness for K-12, you know, other things such as working with stakeholders and creative community programs that will introduce youth and young professionals to career mentors, opportunities, you know, encourage young people to become involved with revitalization, start businesses, especially those that are from low income, socioeconomical background. Because during my experience, you know, I noticed several things. There's been so many disconnect on what to do after graduation. And then when they end up going to college, they really lack a plan. Some may have spent so much money taking so many classes to figure out what they want to do with their life. Others may think, you know what, high school diploma is good enough. I need a job. But they do not realize with revitalization, entry-level jobs may not be sufficient. I mean, it's a good start, but, you know, obviously you still need to develop a good career management plan. Throughout my years, I used to work with K-12, and I've seen that prior there was not enough emphasis on career and purpose of furthering education. Now it's changing because of the whole career pathway grant.
Oh, and expand on that. What is that?
It's a grant where certain districts are being funded, and what they have to do is they have to incorporate a career readiness curriculum, and also local employers have to participate in the design. So That includes offering internships. Actually, the reason why I came home so late, because I actually had a meeting with one of the districts that were funded, which was Passaic, and they're able to create 30 career pathways, right? So whether it's biomedical, whether it's anything technology, finance, students are able to take curriculum in those type of courses after their sophomore year in high school. The district actually partnered with local community colleges. So students are not only getting high school diploma, but they have an opportunity of earning college credits. So not only to get them college ready, but get them career ready.
So going back a little bit, you know, we have this phrase, investing in the youth. And we see it a lot of times, a lot of different publications. And I imagine listeners have a lot of definitions of what that phrase means. They could think about Tom's giving out shoes to kids, or different kinds of programs that give, you know, laptops to youth to kind of revamp their knowledge of technology. In your experience and the work with you're doing, what does investing in the youth actually look like?
Obviously, we focus on encouraging youth to get an education, but we need to help them understand why it's important. So definitely more hands-on project-based learning in classrooms, where students can actually gain experience in what they're learning. So they're just not sitting in a classroom reading books. They're actually doing hands-on. Also, you're going to hear me mention it several times, professionals from high school industries get involved, especially with the curriculum design, but also look into mentoring, you know, strengthening internship programs. So that way students can not only prepare for careers, but they'll understand how the economy is actually going to impact them. So whenever they face through go with the struggles in their careers and intensification, they'll be able to overcome those obstacles.
That's wonderful, LaToya. And I'm glad you mentioned mentoring. I'm based here in Denton, Texas, a little college town just north of Dallas. And we have a nonprofit called Mentor Denton that partners young adults with youth in the Denton Independent School District. I've participated at times and have some buddies who have been doing it for years. And they start with this young man or woman, or kid more so, in elementary school, and continue to foster that relationship all throughout their time in primary school. And it seems like a great way to really make this investment in the youth last long term.
Right, exactly.
And that translates well into the work that you're doing with the Rebuild Talent Consultancy as well. And I love the mission that you encourage folk to adopt, LaToya. That's, you sit down with the student and you make the why very clear for the student, like why this is important to be able to give you the skills that you need to land a job. But then also you kind of zoom out and help the student understand why this investment is so important, kind of in their place within the community. You know, it's not just about gaining skill like X and Y. It's how you're going to use that skill to be able to make your community better and kind of find your place in the community. Why did you choose that approach?
The goal pretty much is not only to increase diversity in leadership of industries, but also in urban development, because there's such a lack of representation and how communities need to be revitalized, which also creates such a negative impact on gentrification. And what it is lower income families tend to get impacted negatively the most. The idea is to create a mindset of, you know what, you can also create jobs. You can create wealth. You can also make a decision on how your community needs to be built. And what, you know, leaders need to understand is that there are plenty of talent in the community. You just got to not only be able to prepare them for it, but, you know, tap in those resources. And one thing I also want to emphasize too is my project is also a lot more policy based. In order to have an effective program or right funding, you have to obviously elected officials impact that decision.
LaToya, I'd love to transition into, you know, we have different listeners on this podcast, maybe their parents, maybe their officials in the school. I imagine that investment looks a lot different, you know, city by city, community by community. Someone's listening to you, they're buying into this concept of investing in the youth in relation to career development. How can someone go out and understand the learning landscape in their own neighborhoods and decide what to do first, decide how to even get started investing in the youth?
Right. So obviously education is very complex and improvements can come from different angles, whether it's curriculum design, safety, hiring qualified teachers. The idea should be that representatives, especially the natives in that neighborhood who are teachers, who are administrators, who are employers, they need to come together and decide, okay, how can we improve the issues in our community? Because, you know, every community is different. So, and, you know, I look at the Career Pathway Grant in New Jersey. They're doing that because they're looking at, okay, in this area, this is the type of industry that's growing. So let's put an emphasis on, you know, this type of industry. And then while we're doing that, let's look at local employers to see if, look who's willing to work with our students, who are willing to mentor. So it just takes a representative from, I would say, each group that have a different skills or different mindset come together and then build from there. And also another organization, New York City for Learning Collaborative, they're doing that as well, you know, where they're hosting roundtables that consist of stakeholders, parents, students, and they discuss, okay, what is it, what's going on in Newark, and how can we, you know, improve the schools of the needs for our residents of Newark. So it definitely starts with the work of natives.
And then it seems like anyone can step up and start to form these groups locally, right? Like if it's a parent that chooses to spearhead it, if it's someone within the school, it seems like anyone can step up and start to make these alliances.
Right. And I get it because, you know, a parent who may never be never been a teacher, you would think, well, what would they know about curriculum design? Okay. But at the end of the day, they know what is going on in terms of what their children is experiencing. However, you know, one thing about, especially in urban areas, is there are plenty of teachers, there are plenty of principals that are qualified to work with parents, with students to make those type of decisions. You know, I just think it's definitely a collective group.
And then where does Rebuild Talent Consultancy fit in this whole conversation? If there's someone's listening to this podcast, they want to start to have this conversation locally, would they reach out to you? Is that the next step in where Rebuild Talent Consultancy fits in this?
Well, what I do is, so like I actually reach out to organizations like New York City of Learning Collaborative, like policy institutes who are actually going out to these communities and create a program or a type of strategy on improving as far as career readiness or preparing this youth.
So on the topic of programs, in your experience with this work, what types of programs have you noticed have been most beneficial for students? And are these types of programs that listeners could implement similar ones in their own communities?
Right. Well, see, the thing is the career pathway is very new. Well, I know in Jersey, it's only been, what, a year or 2 years old. So schools are starting to, well, the schools that were funded are starting to form their program, but it's going to take a little bit. But what's happened is I actually went to Boston and I also did a research. They're also creating, well, they've created a career pathway where they partner with every community resources. What they do is they create a career readiness program for their youth. They created internships, pretty much what New Jersey Career Pathway is working on doing. Massachusetts have created that. Definitely look at the Career Pathway Grant. It's out there. I have been told that it has helped in terms of being able to network with employers to strengthen the curriculum. With Career Pathway, it's helpful in terms of creating a career readiness program for students. Now, only certain districts are able to get awarded in that type of grant. Now, there are certain nonprofit organizations that also, they may not have the grant, but they do small things like provide mentor for students in certain career, like for instance, LEAP in New Jersey, you know, they focus on pretty much career in law. So they partner with attorneys, with judges, where they provide internships and mentor for you. Even if you don't get the grant, because really grant is for the Department of Education. So it's typically awarded for districts, but in terms of community, I mean, I think there's always still a way to, you know, band together and say, listen, okay, I'm sure many of us have many relationship with employers, with local employers. So let's see if we could create like a mentor for you or, you know, or some type of college readiness. So, I mean, there's always little things that people in the community can do.
So a listener that's listening to this podcast, they like the idea of investing in the youth with that focus on career development. They go into the schools, you know, they're starting to create these alliances, gathering some stakeholders. maybe implement a mentorship program or partner with some employers. LaToya, how do we make these investments last? Like, how do we make sure it's not just giving the kid the laptop? How can we actually make this a sustainable, lasting success and empower these students to go on and not only get stable jobs, but more so make their own town stronger?
So, I mean, definitely long-term partnerships, who's willing to work with these students in every stage of their education. I mean, if you think about employers, I'm sure they're willing to mentor students from middle school to high school. Definitely community organizations like Junior Achievement. What they do is they go into classrooms and they provide career readiness programs to schools in every level from kindergarten to high school. One other thing, too, I would like to emphasize is, you know, maybe K-12 can also look into creating a career readiness representative in the schools. So that way they could have a structured career readiness. So that way every student, not just certain students that were awarded, but every student can have access to some type of mentor program or, you know, some type of career readiness program. But again, it needs to build a long-term relationship and not so much of competition, because in the past I've seen where different organizations are competing against each other. It takes everyone to work together.
Are there existing positions like this in schools where someone's actually hired to help with career readiness?
I know in Boston, they do have a representative, but the thing is only based on a certain districts that were funded through their initiative. So for instance, if there's a program called, it's Connecting Activities is what it is. There, if one of the districts, which is in Boston, is being funded, they have a representative in that high school. But as long as the student is part of that specific program, then they're able to access the program. So it's not necessarily for everyone, but I still think that is a great start.
Yeah, that's wonderful, LaToya. Mm-hmm. So how long have you been doing the Rebuild Teleconsultancy?
Well, I've been going at it for, I'm going to say, about 6 years, because I was working with different groups. But I would say for this past year or two, especially as inspiration of being an adjunct,
yeah,
I've been at it for about a year now.
Wonderful. So this past year in particular, do you have any success stories to share with us of how investing in the youth is making our town stronger?
I will say this, in Boston, I was told that, so what happened is employers have to, because what it is students are actually getting paid internships, which is wonderful, because especially for low-income students, they're able to gain experience and they're getting paid. What happened is employers have to hire enough students where the amount of wage they offer matches the grant they receive. So for instance, say if the grant is like, I'm just putting a number out there, $100,000, the amount of wage that employers have to offer has to match that. And from what I was told, it's been exceeding that every year. Meaning employers are willing to invest in our youth. They see the need and they're taking it seriously. Again, it's still very new. I've had read some stories where because of the program, students were taking advantage of college, going to college, or able to graduate and take advantage of the intern, and hopefully may have been offered the position. But again, my next step is to follow up. So that way I'll have more stories to tell.
Yes. We'll get you back on the podcast. I love
definitely.
That, LaToya.
Definitely.
Well, LaToya, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and experience with us. To wrap up, and this is the question we end every podcast with, how does this particular action, investing in the youth, make our cities and towns stronger?
Well, they're the new generation. I mean, when we're preparing our youth, that means we're preparing future leaders of the economy. In order to take our economy very seriously, we have to start with the young people.
Get the young people to design our cities, get our young people some ownership in exactly. Our neighborhoods. I love it.
Yes, yes. And especially with art, I mean, if you notice, a lot of cities are recognizing that art is big in money. I mean, we have a lot of talented youth. Definitely train them. Eventually, they can preserve the history, the culture of the community. They can create wonderful architecture in the area, but it's just a matter of investing in our youth first.
Love it. Well, LaToya, thank you so much again. If listeners want to connect with you online, where can people find out about you and learn more about Rebuild Talent Consultancy?
Sure. So they could look at my website at rebuildworkforce.com. I am on Twitter, which is my name on Twitter is Toya RTC. I'm on LinkedIn, and also they can look me up on Facebook page. I do update future events on all of my social media.
Very good. Well, Latoya, thank you again, and we will chat very soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye, Latoya.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. If you're enjoying the content, please subscribe to It's the Little Things on iTunes, and we will chat next week. See ya.